In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode of the Nerd Cave Retro is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/nerdcave. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
You're listening to the Nerd Cave Network.
Greetings, programs, and welcome back to the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. My name is Jason Robbins.
And I'm Derek Diamond.
And we have a fantastic guest with us tonight. The man who I have had on the Pop Culture Palette podcast quite a few times. He is from Gamertag Radio, the Remember When podcast, and also one of my favorite old gaming podcasts that's not around anymore, but I wish it still was, Uncle Gamer. Here he is, Mr. Paris Lilly.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you inviting me to the show. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I figured we talked about having guests on the show, and you were the first person that popped in my head because I know you love some retro game stuff. I mean, you've been a gamer as long as I have.
Yeah, that's called being old.
Yeah. nothing like being middle-aged.
Yeah, I'm not too far from that point myself. So, but no, it's great having you on the show, and I've looked forward to talking more retro games as always.
But yeah, it's like I said before on, I think I actually said it on this show here. Paris was the person, actually the very first podcaster I ever listened to on the Uncle Gamer podcast, and was my inspiration for becoming a podcaster. So if you don't like my stuff, then blame Paris, and he's at Vicious696 on Twitter, and you can yell at him there for giving me my career.
Well, I get yelled at there all the time for my gaming opinion, so jump aboard.
Well, we can go ahead and launch right into our retro news for the week.
Let's do it.
This is on TechCrunch.com. The modder community is turning the NES Classic Edition into an all-purpose retro gaming machine. If you were lucky enough to get your hands on an NES Classic Edition this last holiday season, you were probably impressed with the quality of the emulation so much you wished you had a few more games, or maybe even that there was an SNES version. Well, your dream is coming true, kind of, anyway. Hackers have been able to add hundreds of games to this thing. And now, according to TechCrunch, according to Mad Monkey, it will automatically detect unsupported NES games and launch them instead of default emulator. Exit to menu, save states, etc. will work as usual. Also, it can emulate SNES, Genesis, GBA, and even Nintendo 64 with classic controller, of course. So what do you guys think about being able to play like Super Nintendo and Genesis games and even Nintendo 64 games on this thing? I don't even know how that's possible.
It's crazy. I'm not surprised at all that this has happened. There's actually a video that's attached to the article. It's about 10 minutes long, and it's a guy showing demos of like Super Mario Kart, Mario 64, and other games as well. So I'm not surprised at all that this has happened. I would never do this because as hard as this thing has been defined, I would not chance screwing it up whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, Paris, I know you got your Nintendo Classic Edition for Christmas. What do you think about, would you ever risk breaking this thing to be able to mod it to get hundreds of games on this thing?
Well, I need to be careful with my comments so that certain ears don't hear me say this, but I'm 100% gonna do that. Because it's the thing. I mean, when it came out and it was limited to only those, I think it's 30 games. I'm like, why? I mean, you have such a vast library of games, and the fact that you're not allowing us a way to update this over time didn't make any sense to me. Now, as far as like this article goes, talking about the fact that it can do N64 games, yeah, I want to know that too. How the heck is it doing it and doing it reliably? But I'm not surprised to see people break into this thing, because we understood from the get-go that all Nintendo was really doing was they were just putting an emulator in there to be able to do this. So of course people are going to break into it and expand it and add more games. Like, a matter of fact, a quick story I can tell you, just last night I was at a friend's house and he built a classic arcade machine in his house, like by hand. And when you open it up, it's literally just a mini PC in there running Windows 7. And he has every emulator you can think of with like hundreds of games on there. And he has the UI that he has for it is amazing. And he did all this himself. So wow. If I could get even a fraction of that out of the NES Classic, I'm all for it. I definitely would do it.
Well, I've seen articles where people, and actually there's a how-to video on to do this as well, where you take an old NES cartridge and you take a Raspberry Pi, and you make kind of like a little mini console out of an old Nintendo cartridge. And I think that would be fun to make.
I remember, you know, me and Jason were talking about this when they first announced the mini NES. Why not put a hard drive in it?
Yeah.
Where you can download any game you want. Why limit it, like you were saying, Paris, why limit it to only the 30 games that came with it? Why not put a hard drive where you can connect it, you know, via USB or however you do it, and just get as many games as you want on it?
I think realistically, the reason that they did not do this is because they plan on charging you for this to put those same games on the Nintendo Switch. That's what's going to happen. So they didn't want people doing it on the Classic. They're going to push you towards the Switch.
But just not at launch.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the best thing they could have done is they, you know, being able to do that, probably putting a hard drive in this thing probably would have raised the price on this thing quite a bit. And were people willing to pay that much money for, you know, a classic NES with a hard drive on it to where you actually put more games and stuff on it? And then the infrastructure you got to have to be able to do that. But I would have paid an extra, you know, $50-$60. I would have paid $120 for this thing to have one that you could upgrade and have more games put on it.
And also, I have no doubt that they will be releasing a mini SNES this Christmas.
Yeah, seems like a no-brainer.
Well, they need to get more classic NESs out there if they're going to do that, because I still don't have one.
Well, yeah, that is just shameful, because, I mean, again, just careful with who hears me about this. But, yeah, I had to jump through many hoops to get one. And I literally left my house at 1 o'clock in the morning and stood in line to be able to get one. It was insanity.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Nintendo did not have this thing stocked properly going into the holiday. And even like you said, even now, you still can't get one. It's crazy.
Well, that's kind of,
I read somewhere they were going to be discontinued.
Oh. No, please don't.
I hope it's not true. I can't remember where I read it, but I read somewhere that they were going to do like maybe one more batch and that was going to be it, which is dumb.
You know, I love Nintendo, but they love shooting themselves in the foot, man. Hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah, some people might be saying they're going to shoot themselves in the foot this Friday.
Yeah, it looks like that's going to be kind of... Well, I said it before, I'm going to wait probably at least until Christmas to see what if Nintendo's going to be able to iron the bugs out of this thing, because I think this thing's going to have a rough launch, fellas.
You know, and I talked about this on my podcast, actually recorded it earlier this morning. I've softened my stance a little bit because I was saying, like you were that I was going to wait until the holiday. But I do see a scenario, and again, this really depends on feedback from the average consumer and just close friends that I know that are getting it. But I can see a scenario of me getting it around the end of April, beginning of May. Around that time frame, because I've decided I'm not going to play Zelda on the Wii U. I will just play it on the Switch. But like you're saying, it really depends on like the whole Joy-Con issue that's coming up now, and just a lot of things with the physical hardware. I need to make sure that it's reliable before I jump on it. Battery life, obviously, it's going to be another big issue with it. But there is a scenario where I get it earlier, but chances are probably after the summer going into the holiday, like you're saying.
Yeah. So, Derek, are you still getting it day one, or are you going to wait?
I actually, when they first released the pre-orders for the Switch, I was able to get one from Amazon. So it will be shipped here on Friday. And cool. I'll have my first impressions of it on next week's show.
That's good, because I definitely want to do kind of a special episode dedicated just to your experience with the Switch.
Yeah, I kind of agree with, you know, what you guys are saying. I know there's going to be issues with it, but at the same time, I'm such a huge Zelda fan that I knew I wouldn't be able to wait until the summer or later to play it. So I'm Zelda is an absolute no-brainer. I have no doubt that it's going to be a really good game, but there's really nothing else to the Switch besides that. And I was saying on my other show I do, the Nerd Cave podcast, that this 1-2 Switch game that they're releasing, they should have packaged that with the Switch because it's really an example of kind of showing what the Switch is capable of, kind of like what they did with Wii Sports when the Wii came out. So I think if they had packaged a game with the Switch, one, it would have been better received. And I just think it would have given you kind of a free example of what the system can do, like controller wise.
And that's so weird to me that they're shipping it with no game. That should always be some, you know, that should just be standard that a console comes shipped with some sort of game with it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
But let's go ahead and move out of news for this week, and let's move into this month in video game history. In February of 1989, Atari Games releases Hard Drivin' arcade game with filled polygon 3D graphics, physics simulation, and a forced feedback steering wheel. Does anybody else remember this game? Because I only played this a few times.
Yeah, no, I didn't play this back in the day.
No, I didn't either. I've heard of it, but never sat down and played it.
Yeah, this wasn't really my cup of tea. I only played it a couple times at the arcade, but yeah, it never really captured my fancy in the arcade. I was more, you know, I always went more for stuff like Afterburner, things like that. And maybe, what was the motorcycle game that you could sit on the actual motorcycle? It was a Sega game, too.
What was that?
Road Rash or something like that? What was it?
I can picture it, but I can't think of the name of it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
I'll do a quick Google search.
I keep thinking Road Rash, but it wasn't Road Rash.
I picture
Hang On, that's it.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of it right now. Yeah, I remember this. It was like an actual motorcycle.
Yeah, I miss those. That's awesome. Games.
They have something similar. I've mentioned off and on that, you know, back in when I went to Houston back in November, I went to a bar/retro arcade place, and they actually had a Mario Kart machine, and it was like you were, you know, in an actual cart, which was kind of cool. I miss like physical sets like that.
You know, they had one of those at the Chuck E. Cheese near me. I went there for a birthday once for my nephew, and I actually, me and him played Mario Kart like that in the actual carts. I remember that. Mm-hmm. You just reminded me of that.
Yeah, there was one nearby here, too, when that game first came out in arcades, but I don't think it's there anymore. Hmm. But I miss the physical, you know, sets like that, like being on the motorcycle, being in the car. It just adds like a whole different experience to it.
Yeah, I always loved games like Afterburner and stuff that would just, the whole console would move, you know, it just felt like you were really there.
Well, there's still the, and I'm forgetting exact what it's called, but the Star Wars game, like if you go to a Dave and Buster's now, they still have that, and that will physically move you around as you're going through, like when you're on Endor and you're shooting the stormtroopers and things like that. And, you know, obviously when you're doing the trench run with the Death Star, I forget the exact name of that too. I should look that up, but it's the Star Wars game.
The battle pod, isn't it?
Maybe that's what it is.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you do the next one, Derek.
In 1994, on February 2nd, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 was released for the Mega Drive / Genesis and introduced Knuckles the Echidna. This, you know, I love the Sonic games back in the day. This was actually the first Sonic game that introduced a save system, which was very nice. Knuckles, obviously, is one of the most popular Sonic characters that are out there. Did either of you guys ever play this game?
I'm sure I did, because I know I remember playing with Knuckles. So I had to have played 3, because back then I was playing all the Sonic games.
I think I may have played this on the, like an in-store, like a demo, but I'd never really played too much Sega back in the day.
Yeah, this was one of the better Sonic games, I think, of that whole era. A lot of people will say that it's Sonic 2. To me, it's really close between 2 and 3, but also right after this game was Sonic and Knuckles, where you could actually plug another cartridge into Sonic and Knuckles, and then you could play as Knuckles in Sonic 3 and Sonic 2. Which That's was a really so awesome. Cool feature, and I don't remember if that had been done, you know, before or even since then with cartridges.
I can't think of anything else that had done that, but that is a really cool concept, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sonic 3, if you're a Sonic fan, for one, you've had to have played it. If not, I'd definitely check it out. It's one of the best Genesis games.
And on February 23rd of 1994, Super Street Fighter II Turbo Arcade introduces Akuma. This was a little bit after my time of playing Street Fighter, so I don't remember this character at all.
No, I don't either.
Oh, you don't? I do. I totally do. I was big into Street Fighter II. Matter of fact, when I was telling the buddy that had built the arcade unit, we were playing Street Fighter II last night. Yeah.
Yeah,
I totally remember that. It was good.
Yeah, me and Derek were talking about Street Fighter 2 last week, or the week before, and man, that game has had some legs on it the past 20-something years. Like, can you think of any other game that's still just as relevant now? Like, people still play that game, like in tournaments and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, nothing that... Yeah, where you're not playing it for nostalgia, but for competitive reasons, nothing touches this. I mean, the fact that the same moves that we were doing back in the mid-90s in Street Fighter 2 are still relevant today. Like, if you pick up and you want to do Ryu or Ken or, you know, gosh, why am I blanking on her name right now? Chun-Li, for example. Those moves still translate into the competitive fighting scene right now. So, yeah, huge legs on Street Fighter 2.
And there's been like 50 different versions of that game too, like Super Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter Turbo, Super Street Fighter 2 Part 2. You know, it's like, it's crazy how many versions of that game there's been.
And even graphically, it still holds up for being a 16-bit game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You want to take the next one, Derek?
Yeah. In 1995, on February 15th, Star Wars Dark Forces was released for PC. It was the first in a successful series of Star Wars-based first-person shooters. Now, I was never a big PC game, PC gamer, but looking at the cover art and some of the graphics, I remember when I was a kid, my uncle, who introduced me to like a lot of gaming, also introduced me to Star Wars. I remember watching him play this game for hours after school. So I personally have never actually sat down and played it, but looking at the screen caps just brings back so many great memories. Have you guys ever played this game?
Oh, yeah.
No, I knew of it, but I never got a chance to play it.
Yeah, I had this for my PC back in 95. I had this. I remember buying at the same time. I bought this and Star Wars Rebel Assault. And I bought a joystick controller, like a flight controller, to play with the game. And I loved those Star Wars games. And they're still available on Steam. If you have a Steam account, I would definitely suggest going back and playing these games. I'm not sure if Rebel Assault is on Steam, but I know for sure that Dark Forces is.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Just looking at this box art, it just looks, it's so simple, but it's so cool.
Oh yeah,
like, it just brings like a flood of memories.
Oh, those were great games, and I can't recommend it enough. Go on Steam, and you can probably get it for like $2 at this point. It's totally worth it.
Oh, for sure. I'll definitely have to look into that. But anything else with this month in video game history?
That's it. We can go into our mid-roll.
All right, so for you, the listeners of the Nerd Cave Retro podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And as Jason mentioned at the top of the show, they have over 180,000 titles to choose from. That's like four lifetimes worth of books. I think Audible is fantastic. I've been using it for the last couple of months. I'm about a third of the way through a Star Wars book, Star Wars Bloodline, which is so far a very good book. And I think what's cool about it is that they don't just have a person reading. You know, anybody can really do that. But they add in the music, the sound effects. You feel like you're actually in the Star Wars universe. So they put some really good production behind it. If you're a Star Wars fan, definitely check those out. They also have books from Halo, Gears of War, Mass Effect, the Divergent series, Lord of the Rings. So many great books to choose from. And to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/nerdcave. Again, that's audibletrial.com/nerdcave for your free audiobook.
And I asked Paris what game he would like to help review for this week, and this was the game that he picked. Everybody recognizes that theme song, especially if you were a child of the late 80s, early 90s. That is for DuckTales, the video game. It was released in 1989 in America and was later ported to the Game Boy in 1990. It was published by Capcom and based on the Disney animated TV series of the same name. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love me some DuckTales. I have the DVDs of all the seasons, the movie. I can't wait for the new series to come out. Like, did you guys love DuckTales as much as I did and still do?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I picked it as soon as you gave me that option. Yeah, I love DuckTales. It was an amazing series, and even this game was amazing for its time.
You know,
yeah, DuckTales is fantastic.
And I didn't know this, but I just read this on the Wikipedia page that the key personnel from the Mega Man series went on to make this game. And I was going to make a lot of parallels, like not parallels, but this game is a lot like Mega Man 2. Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense. Now, I never thought of that before, but yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Because this game is just as smooth. Like, I think Mega Man 2 is up there as one of the greatest, not only the one of the greatest NES games, but one of the greatest video games of all time. And I would put this game, DuckTales, up there in the same category because it is nearly a perfect video game. What do you guys think?
I'm with you because I just said this, I think, a week or so ago on my podcast about Mega Man 2 being one of the best games ever made. And now that you're saying that, as far as platformer goes for DuckTales, it has to be up there. I mean, it's definitely one of the top 10 best platformers ever made, for sure. Yeah. You know, I loved it.
It's one of those few games that were based off a movie or TV show that was actually really well done. And even going back and playing it, because they did a remastered version for Xbox 360, which that was my first introduction to the game because I never played it on NES. But the gameplay and the soundtrack still hold up today. Like, it's one of the most timeless games I think that's ever been made.
Oh, absolutely. And for anybody that's never played it, the game sees the players in the role of Scrooge McDuck as he travels around the world and outer space in search of 5 treasures to further increase his fortune. Scrooge is able to attack enemies and get around using his cane, which is probably one of the best like weapons in any Nintendo game. On the ground, Scrooge can swing his cane to attack enemies and break open or throw certain objects. While jumping, Scrooge can bounce on his cane like a pogo stick to attack enemies from above. And the cool thing about this game is it's a lot like Mega Man 2 as far as you can go to, you can start and pretty much go to any level that you want to. And in the game, there are 5 levels. There's the African Mines, the Amazon, the Himalayas, Transylvania, and the Moon. And you can start wherever you want to go, but actually, in order to go into the mines, you have to go back to Transylvania and get a key in order to get into the mines. So you can, it's pretty much kind of open world, but it's a side scroller, but it's still kind of open world as far as you can go to any level that you want to. And I really like that you don't have to start. Every time you play it, you can kind of play it from a different way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember, like I said, playing it through the remastered version. The Amazon gave me so many fits. It was ridiculous. But I can't say enough about this game. And it was crazy about the music. You played the opening theme, which I'll say is one of the best theme songs ever made for a TV show. Like, not just animated, but just a TV show ever. And the moon theme, because I've gone on YouTube and found like best 8-bit songs or best 8-bit soundtracks of all time. That song is always in the top 3 or the top 5, like of any list that I listen to.
So what about you, Paris? What are your memories of playing this game? You did play it back in the 80s, right?
Yeah, it's funny because obviously the show was very relevant back then as well. And I just remember as a kid running home to watch it every afternoon. Oh, so yeah. Seeing a lot of those characters show up in the game during certain situations was kind of my big thing. And the thing that hooked me, and you mentioned that moon level. I remember, excuse me, as a kid going to that moon level and just being blown away by it, thinking that just how cool it was and how amazing it was. And the one thing that I took from DuckTales back then, and I played the remaster a little bit recently as well, is it wasn't easy, man.
No.
That was a hard game. Yeah. I'd actually forgot how hard it was. So, I mean, there was definitely, excuse me, a sense of accomplishment when I finally beat it. And, back back then we didn't have all these game choices. So it was a thing of once you got a game, you pretty much played it until you beat it. And I think DuckTales took me a while. That was not an easy game to finish at all.
And, you know, Capcom was always one of the publishers back in the 80s and 90s that it always had like it was almost like a seal of quality. At least I felt that way back then, because they did have such great games like Mega Man 2, DuckTales, and then you moved to the, you know, Strider, and then you moved to the SNES, and they had games like Final Fight. What else did they have? They did Street Fighter 2. They did all those games, and they were always really good games. But you go back and you look at games like Mickey Mouse Capade and the Tailspin, those were not quality games. So you go back and you look at the Capcom library, and it's a lot of real, like, either they're great or they're really bad. So this was definitely one of the games that was really good.
Oh,
for sure. For sure.
But
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, did you guys ever play Mickey Mouse Capade or Tailspin, the other Disney properties that Capcom had?
I did not.
I want to say I played Tailspin. I seem to remember that I did, but obviously it didn't hold anything near and dear to my heart because I can't remember if I liked it, hated it, or anything.
Well, I can safely say this. I bought it a few weeks ago, that and Mickey Mouse Capade, and those games are awful. They're nowhere near the quality that DuckTales is. DuckTales is just, I can't just describe in words how awesome this game is. Like, I've been playing it over the past few weeks, getting ready for this episode, and it's just, everything about that game is just perfect.
It even was like a commercial and critical success too. Like, looking at the reviews, Electronic Gaming Monthly gave it an 8 out of 10. Nintendo Power 3.75 out of 5, and Mean Machines gave it a 90%. So, you know, all across the board, people love this game.
Yeah, it says Nintendo Power listed DuckTales as the 13th best Nintendo Entertainment System game in 2008. Praising it as fun in spite of being a licensed product. So that goes to show how bad the licensed products were back in the 80s. Like LJN, those games, like, you looked at LJN, the LJN label is basically a warning label about how bad those games were.
I remember you mentioning that a couple of weeks ago.
So what do you think about those games, Paris? Do you remember the LJN games?
I want to say I do, but I'm trying to remember anyone specifically. I know they're all terrible.
Oh, they had all the licensed. Yeah, they had all the licensed stuff back in the 80s. They did Friday the 13th. Yeah. They did Nightmare on Elm Street, Back to the Future, the Back to the Future games.
No,
they were.
I remember Back to the Future. Now that you mentioned that, I remember because I was so infatuated with Back to the Future back. It sounds like an oxymoron back then. Yeah. But I remember renting it. Because I just had to play it. And yeah, that was, oh my God, that was probably one of the worst games I've ever played in my life. Now that you mentioned that. So yeah, and that was probably par for the course on all their titles. I want to say the Friday the 13th one I played, but I don't really have a memory of it. And I'm sure it was terrible too.
Oh, it's awful. It's downright just gutter trash.
Yeah, there weren't too many NES games like that that I played, but even like the Super Nintendo ones, I tended to shy away from the movie adaptions because most of them really weren't that good.
So the DuckTales 2, did you guys ever play that? I did. Honestly, I kind of got out of video games by the time DuckTales 2 came out, or I was actually moved on to the SNES, so it must have just passed me by because it came out in 1993, and now DuckTales 2 is probably it's one of the rare Nintendo games, and it goes for hundreds of dollars at this point.
Yeah, I honestly had no idea there was a sequel to it.
Yeah, by that point I was living overseas, and yeah, I definitely didn't play it. I'm pretty sure, like you said, I was moving on to the SNES at that point.
Yeah, I never played it. I still haven't even looked up to see any gameplay from it. But from what I hear, it's not definitely not as good as the first DuckTales. But you know, if anybody's a Nintendo collector, or, you know, if you've never played Nintendo and you have an old Nintendo system, if you come across this game, I bought a copy of it a few weeks ago for $25, which I think is pretty fair for a copy of DuckTales in good condition, which mine is in very good condition. And I plopped the $25 down, just like, here you go, I want it. And I don't regret it, because it is one of the top 10 best video games, not only of all time, but definitely for the NES. And if you come across a copy of it, pick it up, because this is definitely has to be in anyone's Nintendo collection.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
But does anybody else have anything they want to discuss this week before we get out of here?
I think I'm good on my end.
Yeah, because there wasn't too much retro news going on this week. That's why we only had the one news story. But yeah, DuckTales, I give it out of a scale of 10, I give it an 8.5. What would you give it, Paris?
I got to give it a 9.
You know what? I'll do the same thing. Let's both give it a 9.
Yeah, round up to 9.
I mean, because, you know, here we are. I'm bad at math, I guess, but, you know, 25 years later, or however long it's been, and to me, it still has relevance. Like, I still have fond memories of it. And, you know, it's, like I said, in my opinion, one of the best platformers made. So, yeah, I definitely have to give it a 9.
What about you, Derek? You said you played the original, or did you just play the re-release?
I just played the remastered version. I would say I'd give it an 8.5, because I didn't grow up with it, so I don't have as much, you know, sentimental value attached to it that you guys do. But it's absolutely, being a fan of platformer games, it's absolutely up there with the best of them. So I would give it an 8.5.
Yeah, if you enjoy Mega Man 2, I would definitely recommend picking up DuckTales. But that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. And yeah, we'll go ahead and say thank you to Paris for coming on the show. Yeah, anytime absolutely. You want to come back, sir, you are more than welcome.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate this. This is a lot of fun, and it's always good to look back at the past of games and see how it shaped to where we are right now with video games. So, yeah, thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
So, and also, Derek and I, we just got back from Pensacon last week. So you can go to actually the last episode of Pop Culture Palette, episode 126, was the panel for Monsters Anonymous that you can listen to. And Derek had some panels as well. Tell them about that.
Yeah, we did a podcasting panel, which you can check out. It's called Podcasting 101. It's this week's episode. I think it's episode 135 of my solo show, The Derek Diamond Experience. And this past week on the Nerd Cave podcast, we released our YouTube panel. You can find that, I believe that's episode 198. And you can also check it out on YouTube as well. Just go to youtube.com/nerdcave, and you can find it either as one full video or it's broken up into four different segments.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's going to wrap the show up for this week. So if you would like to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. You can go to our website, nerdcaveretro.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro. We're also at jfunktastic, at Derek_diamond, and Paris can be found at vicious696, and also at Gamertag Radio. So go to gamertagradio.com and you can find all his stuff over there. We're also on facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. And Paris, anything you want to pimp before we get out of here?
I think you already did a great job of that. And like I said, find me over on Twitter at vicious696, and you can find Gamertag Radio at Gamertag Radio on Twitter. And I appreciate you guys for having me.
Oh, thank you, sir. And Derek, tell them what it's all about.
DuckTales. Woo!
You've been listening to a Nerd Cave Network production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.